Hello and welcome to Walk with a Ranger, a podcast from the National Trust. I'm Jo Dyson and today I'm in the Surrey Hills to find out what makes Oxted Downs such a special place for nature. Oxted Downs sits proudly on the North Downs. Large houses enjoy grand views of the Surrey countryside and fields dotted with sheep are marked out by ancient oak trees. The landscape here, on top of the downs, probably hasn't changed much over centuries, but it's what's at the bottom of the hill that has had an impact and changed this landscape forever. Today I'm at Oxted Downs to meet with lead ranger Mary Westall, who's promised to take me on a tour of this beautiful area and share some of its secrets. This, I am told, is prime chalk downland landscape, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about the plants and insects that thrive here. Mary!
Hi, Jo. It's so good to see you again. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good. How's things with you?
Yeah, delightful. It's good to meet you up here. Yeah. And I'm really excited to take you around and see what we can find.
Yeah, a very different environment to Box Hill, but yeah. We've got a view still.
Yes, just a slightly scarred view, you might call it.
Slightly noisy view, I know, because as we're stood here, so we're at the sort of waymarking point of the North Downs Way. Mm-hmm. And it's quite unusual. Well, it's really unusual, isn't it? Because around us, we're surrounded by trees, can see beautiful wooded landscape for miles and fields in front of us. And then this huge cut through the landscape. Roar through the landscape of this M25. And, you know, a constant flow of vehicles.
Yeah, it doesn't rest.
Yeah, and perhaps people might not think necessarily immediately, you know, you hear the noise and you see the cars, but as you sort of just touched on, obviously the pollution that they give off, and what challenges or what does that mean for you and your ranger team trying to look after Oxted Downs?
So Oxted Downs is a SSSI site, which is a site of special scientific interest, and that is because of the chalk grassland. Chalk, as you might know, is quite low in nutrients, so that allows quite rare species to grow, which is why we want to keep it low nutrient. The pollution from the cars will increase the nutrients in the air, which will then sink back into the soil and affect our land type, unfortunately. So with added nutrients to the chalk grassland, it means that high nutrient-loving species like nettles and more common species of grasses will take over instead of the lovely, rare and special species that we have here currently.
So what do you and the team do then in order to look after this landscape with those challenges?
So a lot of scrub comes up as well with higher nutrients in the soil. A lot of what we do here is removing the scrub and taking it off of site rather than leaving it on site. So we're taking the nutrients away. And that then opens up the ground a bit. On chalk grassland, we want a little bit of bare ground as well so that the seed bank can be exposed and other seeds can come into those bare areas from the lovely native species we've got around it rather than the massive scrubby species that take over instead. Quite a lot of cutting or pulling out by the roots to get the big bullies out and creating more space for the special nature that we've got here.
I mean, it's a huge expanse here. You know, we're looking along the North Downs Way across this huge field. I mean, surely it takes a lot of people to be doing all this sort of quite intensive work that you're talking about.
Definitely. So this year we've just started a countryside stewardship agreement, which is very basically an agreement with the government body to manage the land in a certain way so that we can keep it as the special land that we have it now. So the money that we get, so the incentive we get from that helps us. So it's not just the ranger teams and the volunteers, which we are always hopeful for more, but trying to get contractors in to give us a hand as well. And we're quite lucky over here. There's a contractor that knows the site incredibly well. And so he's been incredibly helpful with managing the site with us and alongside us.
So anyone listening to this who might be interested in helping to protect this landscape, could consider volunteering here. Are you looking for more?
Yeah, definitely. It's quite a new thing, our volunteer group for the Oxted Downs. Unfortunately, Oxted, because it's quite a segregated site in comparison to the rest of the National Trust Surrey Hills, it didn't get as much attention, and the access is also not very easy here. So we're now putting a call out, trying to get as many people as are interested to come and help us out at Oxted Downs.
And what sort of jobs might they be getting involved in?
Oh, you'd be getting
dirty.
Presumably
outdoors. There's not a house or a cafe or a shop in sight.
No, you've got to remember there's no loos on site. But you will be getting dirty, taking out the big bits of scrub, maybe some trimming of the more invasive species and things like that. So I wouldn't call it gardening. A bit more heavy-handed than that, but yeah.
Well, an outdoor gym for those wanting to get involved.
Yeah.
So are you able to show me some of the chalk grassland?
Yeah, let's go for a wander.
So Mary and I are at the North Downs Way sign, indicating that the Kent border is only 3 miles away and that Godstone is 3.5 miles away in the other direction. And as we're looking out, as you can hear the thundering M25 to our right, it's adjacent to the most beautiful sort of yellowy green field full of potential hay, I imagine, and trees bordering it. And over the other side of the M25, it's incredibly wooded. In fact, trees for miles, miles around. It's just quite an unusual landscape, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And then you've got another quite a difference when you look from the field below us to the field that we're in now, with the one species, obviously, of farmland, a completely different use of land and necessary. But then looking at what we're standing on with all the different variety of species and where I'll take you to next, hopefully we'll find some orchids and maybe some butterflies amongst that.
Brilliant. I'd love to see an orchid.
Yeah, last time I was here, I actually saw a cluster of greater butterfly orchids, and they're pretty rare. It was really exciting to find. I've definitely not seen them here before, so that was incredible. Definitely something to look out for when you're walking the North Downs Way.
And what might it look like?
Literally looks like quite a cluster of big white butterflies sitting on a stem. It's gorgeous, but it's more of a woodland species.
And that is why it has its name. So it actually looks like butterflies on a stem. Well, it sounds very beautiful. I hope we get to see one today.
Yeah.
And so orchids are known for growing in chalk grassland, are they?
Yeah, so orchids on the whole don't like high nutrient soil. They like it low nutrient. So that's why chalk grassland is the perfect habitat for them. And it's been a really good year, actually, over the sites across the Surrey Hills for orchids. It's been really impressive, especially with the common spotted and man and bee orchids as well. Have had an incredible year. For us, anyways, I don't know in comparison to everywhere else. But
And do you put that down to the work that you're doing or the weather or perhaps both those factors and others?
I think it's definitely a big old mixture of all of it, because the work we're doing, if we weren't doing it, they wouldn't have a place to thrive.
Yeah.
However, I've never seen a year like this, but it's also, we've not had a year where the weather's been quite like this before. I think the heat early on definitely helped. I think a lot of the chalk grassland species kind of start relatively early. About now, we might have pyramidal orchids out. I know some places have just had musk orchids go, which are incredibly rare. So those are the ones that you can look out for at the moment.
Can we see any here?
I'm seeing a lot of common agrimony, which is a nice one to have on chalk grassland. Which are these lovely long stalks with beautiful yellow flowers bursting out. beautiful Budleia to the left of us, which is gorgeous.
And the bees love Budleia, don't they?
They do.
You can see them on it.
Unfortunately, it is super invasive and an absolute nightmare to get rid of, and it just dominates a space. So it's lovely in gardens, absolutely perfect, but on chalk grassland, it gets out of control. So that is something we'd look at here. And you can see this gorgeous ash tree above us as well. And it actually does not look like it's got dieback. You can see in the canopy, it's got a lovely full canopy still. And an ash tree without dieback should be showing that. If it had dieback, it would be all starting to, the leaves would be starting to wrinkle in.
That's really positive, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's why we've obviously left this one standing. And trying to support it as best we can.
Are there other ash trees here? So at the moment, it sort of looks like it's on its own.
It is. It is. I think in the wooded areas between compartments, there will be more ash trees. And we don't mess with anything that isn't going to fall on a footpath or have an issue to people's safety. So, yeah, there are other ash trees. Whether they're all going to stay standing or not due to the dieback is another thing entirely, but this one's looking all right for now, so
support. And how lovely to see, and it looks quite an old ash tree, doesn't it? It's so huge. I mean, gosh, that must be about 30 meters high, do you think?
Yeah.
My goodness, I've never seen such a big snail. Yeah.
Can't touch it alive or dead, it is illegal.
Really? Why are they?
They're protected because I think they were used, I think people ate them. The Romans brought them over, so they're called Roman snails, and I think it was because they like to snack on them. Obviously, we're hoping you don't do that. That's why they're protected now. Yeah. But yeah, by law, so. But very cool to find, but don't tread on them.
No! So does that mean that... So have you seen those here before, a Roman snail?
They're quite common for chalk grasslands. So along the North Downs Way and the South Downs Way, you'd be quite likely to see them.
I've never seen such a big snail. Mm. Wow. I think that's a first for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, so...
So what have we got here?
I've just found some bird's foot trefoil, which are these gorgeous yellow flowers here kind of booming out. They're called bird's foot trefoil because when they go over to seed, they look like a bird's foot.
Oh, because they don't resemble a bird's foot at the moment, do they?
Right.
Very bright yellow, very delicate. Yeah.
They're a fantastic food source for lots and lots of butterflies, so a very welcome species on chalk grassland. And definitely favours the chalk.
And would you normally, I mean, we've not seen a butterfly just on the short bit of walk we've done so far, but do you normally get butterflies on chalk grassland?
So chalk grassland definitely gets a very special variety of butterflies. One of those, probably one of the more rare variety, is the Adonis blue.
Yes, I've heard of that. Yeah. Have you seen one?
Yeah, it's... From what I've seen this year, it's not been a fantastic year, which is a shame. But yeah, I've seen them up here and on some other sites. So the Adonis blue, their food plant is horseshoe vetch, which actually looks very similar to bird's foot trefoil, which we've just seen. But it actually has a symbiotic relationship with a type of ant as well. So the butterfly will find the ants, go down into their nest and release the pheromone, and then the ants will help feed and care for the butterfly until it's ready to leave the nest.
Oh, that's wonderful. What, so the ants actually help the butterfly to grow and thrive?
Yeah, exactly that.
I never knew that. So all butterflies have a symbiotic relationship with ants?
Not all of them, but the Adonis blues do. So it's very important for the Adonis blues to have that type of ant in the place that they are occupying, and their specific food plant, which is horseshoe vetch.
So if we're going to be looking out for an Adonis blue now, we can cross our fingers and hope for the best. Yeah. What are we looking for? Presumably flash of blue colour.
Yes, it is such an incredible colour. So a lot of the blue butterflies look quite similar on first glance, but the Adonis blue is probably quite a small butterfly. The blue, I've never seen that type of blue ever anywhere else in my life before. It's gorgeous and it's got such a shimmer. But if you see one land, maybe a butterfly lands to take in some of the sun rays and you can see the wings a bit more clearly. The Adonis blues are the ones where the black lines go all the way out to the end of the butterfly's wing. So it's got a gorgeous blue, an outline of black, and then like almost a checkered kind of pattern along the outside of the wing. So yeah, that's what to look out for.
Sounds
for an Adonis.
Amazing. And the bits going out to the very edge of the wing, are they black as well over the blue?
There's white and then the black over the white. So kind of like a checkered pattern reaching out. And that's the only blue butterfly that will have that. So that's how you know it will be an Adonis. You can get common blues, which look very similar, but they don't have that extra checkered layer. And their blue, I mean, still a beautiful colour. But I wouldn't call it, I don't know, as majestic as the Adonis blue, I guess.
I love that, majestic.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm really hoping we see one. Mm.
Okay, so we've just found some St. John's wort down here. There's a couple of varieties of St. John's wort. There's a pale St. John's wort that you might end up seeing on chalk grassland, and that is a really, really rare kind. They're quite hard to tell the difference, but what we've got here is the perforate St. John's wort, and where it gets its name is because it starts to flower on the St. John's day, which is late June, and it's been used medicinally in the past to treat depression and anxiety. And back in the day, folklore side of it, it used to be used to get rid of the devil within, so to banish the devil from people, and that's how we kind of translate it to this day.
Oh wow, so way back when they recognized that taking it made them feel better.
Yeah. So it was also a herb to keep away witches and any bad spirits or omens as well, which I think is quite interesting because it's quite a witchy way to use a herb, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not seen one before. So it's a sort of bright yellow again.
Yeah.
And quite a long, delicate stem.
So the leaves for this one, if you were to put one up to the sun, you can see loads of little holes in the leaf. And that's how you know it's a perforate St. John's wort. And also with St. John's, you can tell if you were to crush the flower, it has a red pigment.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that is a sure sign that it's St. John's wort and not another beautiful little yellow flower you found. We've also got some eyebright over here, which is gorgeous. You can see why it's called eyebright. Looks like a beautiful eye opening and looking out of the world.
Oh, it's tiny, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, that's sort of a fraction of your thumbnail. Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the more common species for a chalk grassland, but it does show very clearly why we need to do such heavy scrub removal to save species like this, because they are tiny. They are absolutely minuscule.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the length of your finger, yeah. And then the very delicate stem, just a millimetre or so, and then the actual flower at the end, yes.
Gorgeous flower, white flower opening up with purple and yellow coming out of the centre.
I mean, if you were walking quickly, you'd never notice that, would you?
No, this is why you have to slow down. You miss everything.
Yeah.
And, did you see that?
Is that a grasshopper?
Yeah, it's a grasshopper. Came to join the conversation.
Is that another one there? Yes, look. There. So now we just need an Adonis blue.
Yeah, we'll sit here and wait, eh? Yeah, I think a better day for butterfly hunting would probably be a sunny day when they're out looking for nectar and fanning their wings in the sun.
So they like a bit of sunbathing, do they?
They do, they love it.
but especially the chalk species. Yeah, they don't like the rainy days as much, which obviously for us this year has not been easy because it's been quite a wet year so far.
Mary, I think we have timed that perfectly because we even had some sunshine on our walk and now the rain has just started. I think it's perfect time to sort of call it a day and maybe go and find somewhere for a cup of tea.
I think that is a brilliant idea. I think so. Yeah, let's go find it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to hear all about the orchids, how precious and rare the chalk grassland is, and all the brilliant work you and the team of volunteers are doing to protect it in this most unusual of landscape with that motorway just humming past the bottom of the field there.
No, it's been fantastic to have you, Jo. Thank you for joining me today. It's been lovely to show you everything and take you out on another site.
Yeah, well, I'll be back. So we didn't find the Adonis Blue in the end.
No,
so
we'll have to come back.
We'll come a sunny day. Thank you for listening to this episode of Walk with a Ranger. To find out more about our places, go to nationaltrust.org.uk/Surrey Hills. We'll be back soon with a new episode, but for now, from me, Jo Dyson, goodbye. This podcast has been funded by the DEFRA and Surrey Hills Access Fund.